Hello everyone, my name's David, and welcome to this episode of Pardon My Government on Civil Liberties and Constitutional Protections. Over the next 8 to 12 minutes, we'll explore key aspects of the Bill of Rights, landmark cases, and their contemporary relevance. Let's begin today's episode with our first speaker, Ari.
Hi. Let's talk about the Bill of Rights and individual liberties. The Bill of Rights, ratified in 1791, was created to safeguard individual liberties and limit government power. These first 10 amendments address a variety of rights, including free speech, religious freedom, and due process. For example, the Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, which has been pivotal in cases like Mapp v. Ohio in 1961, where evidence obtained unlawfully was ruled inadmissible in court. For our case study segment, let's look at a more recent application of the Fourth Amendment, which is seen in Carpenter v. the United States in 2018, where the Supreme Court ruled that accessing phone location data without a warranty violates privacy rights. Lastly, let's talk about the contemporary connection. Today, this amendment is especially relevant in debates about government surveillance programs and data privacy laws. With digital data being a part of our daily lives, questions about privacy are more pressing than ever. Back to you, David.
Thank you very much, Ari. Now, let's turn our attention to the First Amendment. For this one, I'll be explaining the role of freedom of religion. The First Amendment's freedom of religion includes two key components, the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. The Establishment Clause prevents the government from endorsing or funding a specific religion, while the Free Exercise Clause protects individuals' rights to practice their faith freely. In Engle v. Vital from 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that school-sponsored prayer violates the Establishment Clause, reinforcing the separation of church and state. Another case, Wisconsin v. Yoder from 1972, upheld Amish families' rights to remove their children from public schools for religious reasons, prioritizing the Free Exercise Clause. These cases continue to protect our freedom of religion, and today, modern debates continue around these principles, such as whether public funding can support religious schools or how vaccine mandates intersect with religious exemptions. Balancing these issues requires careful interpretation of the First Amendment. Now, let's hear about freedom of speech from our third speaker, Jordan.
All right, so for segment three, we have freedom of speech. Now, the freedom of speech is a cornerstone of democracy, but like everything, it all has boundaries. So protected under freedom of speech is protected speech includes political opinions and symbolic actions, like in Tinker v. Des Moines in 1969, which is a court case where students were wearing black armbands to protest the Vietnam War, and that was deemed constitutionally protected. So that was an exercise of freedom of speech. So the courts used freedom of speech to say that that was okay, that the armbands were okay, because it was part of them expressing themselves. So, and our case study for that is Schneck versus United States in 1919. Now, in this course, the court introduced the clear and present danger test. And they ruled that speech inciting harm, such as urging draft resistance during wartime, is not protected. And then the contemporary connection is today, issues like social media regulation, misinformation, and hate speech test the limits of free speech. Platforms grapple with their role in moderating content while respecting users' First Amendment rights. So,
thank you, Jordan. Now, Catherine, could you delve into the Equal Protection Clause and its connection to social movements?
The Equal Protection Clause, part of the 14th Amendment, has been vital in advancing civil rights. It ensures no state can deny any person equal protection under the law. In Brown v. Board of Education in 1954, the Supreme Court ruled that racial segregation in public schools was unconstitutional, marking a turning point in the civil rights movement. Social movements like Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ+ rights continue to invoke the Equal Protection Clause to advocate for equality. For example, Obergefell v. Hodges cited in its legalizing same-sex marriage. In both of these movements, the Equal Protection Clause has been interpreted as a tool for redressing inequality. BLM advocates have used it to challenge discriminatory practices that have disproportionately affected Black Americans, while LGBTQ plus activists have relied on it to argue for legal recognition and protection from discrimination. In both contexts, the clause serves not just as legal provision, but as a rallying cry for justice and fairness, ensuring that all individuals, regardless of their race, sexual orientation, or gender identity, can claim the equal protection of the law.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Finally, Issa, let's talk about balancing freedoms with public safety.
Constitutional rights are foundational to democracy, yet they sometimes face limitations to ensure public safety and order. This tension is particularly evident when rights under the First and Fourth Amendments intersect in matters of national security and public order. In the case Shank v. United States, the court upheld restrictions on speech that poses as a clear danger during wartime. Decades later, Roe v. Wade in 1973 became a landmark case on reproductive rights, affirming a woman's right to choose under the 14th Amendment. However, its overturning in Dobbs v. Jackson's Women's Health Organization in 2022 reignited debates about the boundaries between state and federal authority and individual autonomy. Now let's talk about the contemporary connection. Today, surveillance policies like those in the Patriotic Act passed after 9/11 show the ongoing struggle between keeping the country safe and respecting people's privacy. Critics say that these policies might violate constitutional rights, especially the Fourth Amendment, which protests against unfair searches. On the other hand, supporters believe that this kind of monitoring is necessary to stop threats in a world where terrorism is a real danger. Finding the right balance is a tricky and ongoing challenge. Society has to decide how much safety we need right now versus how much freedom we might lose in the future. The big question is, how much freedom should we give up to keep order and stay safe?
Thank you everybody for your inputs. And now, let's have a brief debate. The question is, should the government regulate free speech on social media?
I think that the government should regulate free speech on social media, because regulation could protect against misinformation and hate speech that harm individuals or our society as a whole.
The problem in today's society is basically social media and the sites that want to regulate stuff like that. They're being said it's infringing upon their First Amendment right to the freedom of speech.
Platforms have responsibility to moderate content, but transparency and fairness are key to maintaining trust.
Any regulation must respect the diverse ways people express themselves, including religious views, without suppressing them.
The challenge lies in ensuring public safety while upholding the values of a free society.
Thank you, everyone. This has been a thought-provoking discussion and podcast. Thank you for all your insights. To our audience, understanding these issues is vital for protecting democracy and civil liberties. Let's continue these conversations in our communities and schools. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Pardon My Government.